One of the things about the experience at Horton was, until I did that, I had no idea there was this other world out there. I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about the business of medicine and many of the skills that they tried to at least make us aware of in going to physician leadership. So that I found that exciting. I also was at a period in my research where I really didn't see, as I mentioned earlier, we weren't going to get a vaccine. We had good diagnostic tools. I was either going to have to shift organisms or do something differently, because even though I was still funded, I just didn't see a good direction to go in within the context of what I had been doing. And so instead of trying to make a little shift, I wound up making a big shift, going into essentially a new field. Mm-hmm. And having a lot of fun in the process. There were some things that were happening before Clarion came along. There was a lot of noise about the future of medicine being very dismal because of HMOs, because of managed care, that nobody was going to be in the hospital anymore. Everybody was going to be an outpatient, you know, and that physicians were going to have to, particularly university physicians, were going to have to learn to be a lot more customer friendly than they are now. And that was some of the stuff that I was trying to do in my clinical role in the Department of Medicine. Then along came Clarion, and Clarion grew out of that, in my mind, out of that angst about the future of medicine. And I wasn't a part of that leadership circle that put Clarion together. So I really, everything I know about that is secondhand. But what I know about it is that, what I was told is that they were very much afraid that they weren't going to have enough inpatients to teach the medical students that we have, nor that the hospitals that we have were going to be financially viable in the future. And that was, from the university's perspective, one of the reasons for being interested in combining with Methodist to form Clarion. But one of the things that I foresaw and others was this organization was going to challenge us. It was going to challenge us in a lot of ways, because we were going to be working more closely with private physicians. And how did we go about that?
When you say challenge, could you be sort of more concrete, sort of unpack that a bit in terms of what ways, as individual physicians and also as, you know, the medical school, those challenges would be most apparent?
Well, some of what I'm thinking is blending into my next role, which was associate dean for clinical affairs. In the Department of Medicine, I was mainly working on trying to make the Department of Medicine more efficient and more customer-friendly in its outpatient care. And I honestly don't remember where in there. I think Clarion had started while I was still in that role before I moved to the dean's office. But the challenges that depended on the relationships that we were going to have, but there was a great deal of animosity in the beginning between the private physicians at Methodist and the faculty of the university, more from them to us than from us to them. Although the people that put Clarion together envisioned a lot of work by physicians and university physicians at Methodist and Methodist physicians at University and O'Reilly, and they built a people mover to move them back and forth for $40 million. You know, that didn't happen, at least not for a while. You know, that was one of the challenges. But another challenge, which we were very concerned about when I was over here with Bob Holton, was how can our faculty work side by side with private physicians who are making maybe two times as much as they're making financially and expect to keep them as faculty if they're doing the same things? And that's not a problem that's completely gone away yet. But that was one of our biggest concerns.
When you made this career transition, early in your career, you were a researcher, and you were in the modern medical center has two great streams. There's the research funding stream, and there is the clinical practice plan stream that flow through and give the refreshing waters that give life to the institution. When you moved over to the clinical side, were there unexpected sort of problems and challenges that you saw that, when that became the center of your attention, that you really hadn't even imagined earlier in your career in terms of difficulties facing a medical school? I guess the question is, what new perspective did you gain?
I think that the thing that surprised me the most was how much money mattered to individual physicians and the extent to which they would fight each other for money. That was a real eye-opener and a disappointment, frankly. And this was really brought home in negotiations between our radiology department and Clarion and a neurosurgical group at Methodist around the movement of a couple radiology, procedure-based radiologists to the neurosurgery group, and it was all a matter of money. And there were other things too. That's just one example, but I don't know if greed's the right word, but 'cause some of it, I think, and get too philosophical here, in private practice, you measure your success in many respects by the amount of money you make. Whereas in academia, we have other things, other chips we pile up, how many papers we give, how many national meetings we go to, are we elected president of such and such a society, that gives us a sense of self-worth that's not generally available in the private practice side. So it seems like the money matters more. Besides just how much money do I need to do what I need to do.
Right. The other, one of the other transformations that affected the Department of Medicine in terms of clinical operations was in the mid-90s when the process goes back to the 80s, but the sort of growth of IUMG primary care and sort of evolving relationship with health and hospital, particularly building a more community-based operation.
Mm-hmm.
With your role at when you're still within the Department of Medicine, what did that transformation mean to the Department of Medicine? Was it something that was easily accommodated? Having more of the sort of clinical physicians out in the community in a way that they hadn't traditionally been, sort of decentralizing, as health and hospitals sort of tended to decentralize its operation?
I thought, from my vantage point, it was a pretty easy transition. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was mostly Wishard physicians,
mm-hmm.
and people manning the clinics, and it didn't have much effect on the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
those that weren't primary care physicians, and it seemed to be a good thing. I didn't see it as being a point of confrontation, but it went pretty well. It's a little surprising that the people who were in positions of authority were willing to give up that authority. I guess visionary on their part. I don't think any of them would want it back now.
Mm-hmm. That'll be true. We've reached 3:00, so stop.
Okay.